now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
Hey, Dakota.
What's up? Hey, Gemma. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Yo, I'm hanging in there.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good.
We also have Ian Kay.
Hey, everyone.
You're fired. Ian, we no longer have Ian Kay.
That was like...
I was somehow caught by surprise by that, even though I knew exactly what was going to happen.
We have Mr. Rogers here with
us. Yeah, I feel like you're a guest on Sesame Street, but, you know, not someone who's normally in front of a camera, I guess.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, today
hey,
we have
everybody.
Research scientist Ian Kay.
Hey. Those are the best guests.
Yeah.
You're the worst.
Thank
basically
you.
What it,
great to be here.
That's how to get guests to come back. That was really
you're the
cool.
worst. But, no, we have a lot. I mean, too much to talk about today. We're going to delve into the world of theater, which is a world
surprise.
That Gemma and I know intimately well.
So rare that we talk about theater
so
on
rare.
This podcast.
We're going to talk about some baseball feats and their, I guess, the possibility that we could pull them off, which is obviously minimal. And then we'll talk a little bit about glasses and about baseball players wearing glasses. That should be a lot of fun. I currently... I'm the only Cut 4 staff member who doesn't wear glasses, although that will be changing. But we'll get into that a little bit later in
wow.
the podcast.
The tease.
The tease. Before we get into the heart of the podcast, we have to start with Ian. What do you think it is?
I don't know. Are we going to just jump right into the first question?
No, I'm sorry. It's the Cut Forecast pop quiz. That's right.
Oh, that was the pop quiz, though. You asked me that
yeah.
question.
Yeah, and you
that
failed. Was done with it? You failed, yeah. No, Ian. You're not getting off that easy, although this is a very simple question this week. If you get the question correct, and I'll just say whoever gets it correct first.
Okay.
We'll get to go last when we sum up the podcast in 140 characters at the end of the show. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Here is the question. So, spring training players have reported. We are underway. It's a very exciting time in the baseball community. Also recently was Michael Jordan's birthday. Fun fact, Michael Jordan, formerly of the Chicago White Sox organization, in addition to the Chicago Bulls, famously. Well, while he was with the White Sox in his stint in minor league baseball, what number did he wear?
Oh, man. If I just list every number before yeah. Gemma, do I win?
No, you don't.
Well, 23.
No.
45.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's a total guess.
Wait, really?
We were playing basketball.
Yeah, so there you go. I thought you maybe blindly guessed, but no, yeah.
That
those were the
sense.
Two options.
Nice.
So.
Yeah.
You get to go last. Is this the first pop quiz you've ever
seen?
That's
incorrect.
On?
I've definitely won a pop quiz.
So, Ian,
is
come point.
Have you?
Ian has confirmed that this is the first time he's ever won.
I think it might be.
Well, start working on that tweet, Gemma.
All right, well, let's get into it now that Ian is going to be all arrogant over there that he won.
It's oh,
I'm
really
leaving
really
the
good
podcast
tweet.
Now.
Yeah. Ian, it better be a masterwork.
So here's why we're going to talk about theater today. This is not just Gemma and I forcing theater into the podcast as we do, as ex-theater majors. That's not what this is about. Bull Durham, classic of baseball cinema, of cinema really, not even baseball cinema, just a classic film. It has been adapted into a musical and is making its way to Broadway. You didn't know you needed it until you heard it. There you go. Apparently they have run out of ideas for original musicals and are now forced to simply exclusively adapt movies into musicals. Just a really great direction for the art form to move in. But it inspired us for this question. Bull Durham.
Steaming theater pick.
No, it's such
hey,
anger.
Just saying, it inspired us to ask this question. Bull Durham, fictional story. What real baseball stories should have musicals made about them? Gemma, since you're a fellow theater major, why
yes.
don't you start?
I will start.
And let us know which actual baseball story you would like to see on the Broadway stage.
Well, as we were discussing earlier, Dakota and I were talking about musicals because that's what we do, apparently.
We do not do that.
We actually,
just say.
Well, we were this morning talking about musicals and how a lot of musical theater is just really boring and terrible because people only produce what they think is going to sell a lot of tickets. So it's like you know, your basic traditional, like, tap number or whatever songs right. that everyone's heard a million times, or, like, jukebox musicals. Just like, things that are easy to talk up but not that interesting artistically. So I thought of two separate musicals, one mm-hmm. that would generate probably cash money, and another that would be way more fun and weird.
Okay, I like this. Yes. I like this.
Okay, so even though the one that I feel like is probably for the subscriber base of, you know, most theaters, which is to say that, like, people with a lot of money and not a lot of interest in seeking out new things,
yeah.
is something that's very close to my heart still. I realize this. It would be a musical about the 1968 World Series,
mm-hmm.
Tigers, Cardinals. The Tigers win, obviously. Spoiler alert. It would be like a Motown jukeboxy musical, though.
Oh, I see.
And I think it would be really fun. There are a lot of big personalities, a lot of big characters in it. And so it would have that, like, sportsy, like, will they or won't they make it? It went to Game 7, you know? The Cardinals had never lost a Game 7 in the World Series before, and then they did. And so that could be this whole build-up for that. That would be the thing that you could sell a lot of tickets to.
Okay.
Second.
That's your cynical Broadway yes, producer.
Yes, yes.
Got it.
Nerd musical that, who knows, with the success of Hamilton, obviously okay. nerd musicals are very popular.
I wouldn't call now. Hamilton a nerd musical.
It's about
musical.
American history.
Okay, but it's also a rap musical.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, also.
But, like, if you were going to say, here's my rap about American history, no one would be like, that sounds really cool. It'd be like, that sounds like something my dweeb history teacher made us watch from his YouTube channel.
Also, I would just, I would like to apologize because this is probably the 4,000th podcast you've listened to that has talked about Hamilton, so apologies
Sorry.
For that.
That was my brief Hamilton mention, but what I'm saying is that it would be really interesting to maybe do a musical in the vein of Moneyball, like a more stat-focused, idea-focused musical, but about the 2013 Pirates.
Oh.
Yes.
Interesting.
I don't know what the music, I'm like, in my head, the music is all like data rock, so it'd be really, like,
what
nerdy.
Is, can I ask bizarre. What data rock is?
Explain data rock.
It's like people who play the computer. As opposed to instruments.
I'm sorry,
like
what?
Skrillex?
Not like Skrillex. Like in Rainbows, kind of.
That's not the computer.
I mean, like, it's like Tom York when he's by himself.
When you mean play the computer,
oh,
you mean,
that's
like,
not in Rainbows.
It's like the no. sound of a keyboard clicking. Like, what does that yeah. even mean? Is it
no,
like GarageBand?
It's like GarageBand.
That's a legitimate style of music.
So when we were all like 19 years old, we were all data rockers. Is that
yeah,
what you're saying?
Yes. No.
When we all discovered GarageBand
and then made a bunch of
computer.
Terrible songs. Yeah, that's who's gonna do the music. You guys are gonna make the score for this musical on your computers on GarageBand.
Yeah, this is terrible.
I know. Well,
that's
why,
a terrible.
That's
idea.
That's why I've got the backup.
I'm gonna be the cynical. Tigers. Yeah, cynical Broadway producer, yeah. and we gotta go with that.
Yeah.
All right, Ian. What do you got? Give us your best musical. Pretend that you care about theater.
Well, I can't really discuss my production of Josh Hamilton the musical yet.
Okay, fair enough. Fair
We're
enough.
Still locking in the details. Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking about, like, what might work. And I think that, like, you know, a lot of musicals are kind of broad and sprawling mm-hmm. is a thing that I thought is probably true.
Sure.
I haven't seen a musical on a stage in, like, 15 years.
Since you were told by a
then,
woman to be quiet.
Yes. Chips in the cinema.
Child.
I was going to tell that story that I realize I've already told on the podcast at least once.
Yeah, it's good.
Shout out to Phantom of the Opera. Never go see that. So I was thinking about, like, things that have kind of big characters and, like, big storylines, but are also, I like when it's like a, like, I wouldn't want to tell the story of a whole season. I think maybe just one game. And I thought back to June 9th of 1999, which is the day that Bobby Valentine was invited to leave a Mets Blue Jays game.
Yes.
And then return to said Mets Blue Jays game in disguise. So it has, like, isn't that a thing on stage? People wear costumes and masks.
That's a Shakespeare thing, certainly.
Every like, person on a stage
yes.
in part of a
isn't
play
that how
is
a play works?
A costume.
Oh, but I thought you were making, like, a more higher level. Oh, yes, well, in Shakespeare, everyone wears disguises.
No, that's definitely, like, a good comic relief.
Yeah,
number.
Like, you know, yeah. he's yeah. wearing the mask. He's lurking from off stage.
Yeah.
There also were a lot of characters in this. David Wells started that game. Ricky Henderson played in that game. So I think telling the story of that game, which was a really good game, when Valentine got ejected, that was already the 12th inning, and the Mets came back to win. So I think of that could be a fun sort of, like, quick adaptation for the musical stage.
Love it.
I still wouldn't go see it.
I think Bobby should play himself.
Yes.
He's free.
Yeah, why not?
He's not doing anything.
He's the safety commissioner of Greenwich, Connecticut.
There you go.
Is that what he was
sure.
doing?
Sure. Sounds
yep.
right.
Yep.
But yeah, there's, who is that? I think it's Eddie George is on Broadway right now, former NFL player. So
don't go to
there
Broadway.
You go. It happens.
What style of music would it be?
Data rock. It would be dad rock, actually.
Yacht rock?
That's what yes. all baseball musicals really should be.
It's a combination of data rock and dad rock.
There you go.
Tom York covering like center field. Okay.
That's horrible.
Yes.
I just like thought of that.
Yes. Made me viscerally upset.
He do his like weird flailing dance. Great. Mine, so obviously I started from the same place that you started, Gemma, mm-hmm. of like sort of
started from the bottom.
More straight, started
still
from
the bottom.
Yeah.
Still at the bottom.
Now I'm here. But now I'm... what I would say is that like the more sort of traditional Broadway musical, Jackie Robinson's Life, that makes sense.
That was
then
musical.
I was like, let's keep going. Let's go a little bit further. And then I thought, well, what about not a musical? What about like a dramatic like relationship play?
Not the question.
Set in Boston
the question
during the 2004
the
comeback
was what would make the best musical.
Well, that's why I threw it away. I was like, that's not fair. That's not a good answer. What are you? Don't give me that face. And then I settled on ultimately a musical mm-hmm. because I knew you would yell at me if I didn't.
Correct. Good. Okay.
1979 Tigers White Sox doubleheader. Ordinarily, people would not remember such an event. I mean, you know, somebody would remember it. It wouldn't be a notable historic event, except for that this particular Tigers White Sox doubleheader in 1979 was Disco Demolition Night. Now that is a musical. You have huge characters involved.
Yep.
Bill Veeck, just like the great promotional mind. You have this. You could have the first act where they sort of plan this massive event set against the counterculture of the 1970s, and the whole the music of the musical is disco. And then in the second act, you have the actual demolition night, maybe like a couple punk rock numbers in the second act as the disco is being demolished. The fans rush onto the field. The riot police are called, and then like the final act is this like dramatic, everybody's sort of trying to figure out what happened, what went wrong, and you have like the 70s social change as the
Whoa.
Background set Whoa. Against Disco Demolition Night. Give me all the Tonys. What do you think?
So what I'm hearing is this is basically a combination of Xanadu the musical and American Idiot the musical.
Yes. That's my elevator
pick. American Idiot was
yeah,
a
they
musical.
Made American Idiot into a musical.
That was bad.
That
I was
saw
a bad
that.
Musical.
I went to Broadway to see that.
I went to Broadway.
To Broadway. Yes.
Indeed.
The theatrical.
So you're giving me all the Tonys, right?
No, that's... no. Incorrect.
No? I think mine was the best of the three. I'm going to be real with you.
It was definitely better than mine.
But yeah, I guess it was the best, but that's not
also,
really saying much.
Look, I don't love disco, but it's better than Data Rock, which
you
doesn't even
know.
Exist.
Gonna...
I don't believe that exists.
Data Rock.
All right, well, here, let's move on. Let's move on to this next topic. The Texas Rangers have a fun promotion. If you put down a deposit for season tickets, then this coming Saturday, which is tomorrow, so it's too late, frankly, if you're listening to this podcast, to sign up. So you missed out. But if you read Cut 4, we had posts about it, so shame on you if you didn't. The Texas Rangers, if you hit a home run in their home run derby, will give you season tickets for free, which is really, really cool. And so it got us wondering. I certainly couldn't hit a home run out of Globe Life Park. That's not possible. But what other baseball feats could I realistically actually do? Ian, why don't we start with you since we started with Jem on the last one?
Well, I'm very certain that most baseball feats I cannot accomplish, as proven by my ages 5 to 12 baseball career. It was not good.
Yeah.
And I doubt I've gotten better since then. But I think that if it came down to it, you know, with the Rangers season tickets on the line or something, I could take a hit by pitch.
Really?
I think I could do it.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Really?
It wouldn't be enjoyable. if I knew it was coming, it might be an issue. But, like, if I had, you know, 100 at-bats, at some point I was just going to get, like, nailed in the ribs.
What about, like, a Noah Syndergaard 100-mile-an-hour
fastball? Yeah, like, I'm talking, pow, like, any hit-by-pitch. Like,
wow.
Obviously, it wouldn't be fun, but I could stand there and just get nailed and not, you know, die, probably.
So you're saying your baseball feat that you could accomplish is remaining stationary.
Yes.
I think this is a very realistic
Well, agree. Yeah, like there's not...
I think so too. Yeah, that's good.
Because I was thinking about like the things that... Even the things that look easy, like catching a fly ball,
that's really
actually
hard.
Impossible.
Yeah,
like,
I thought
completely
about
impossible.
Yeah, I thought about that and I was like, I can't catch a pencil thrown at me from where you are right now.
And like
less than 3 feet away from me, I would drop it. So that's,
judging where it's going to land, like I have no idea how they do that.
That's the thing. Like it's when they hit it and they're already running, it's like, oh, well, no, I would fail miserably. Okay, well, that's a good one. Gemma, what do you got? What's the baseball feat you could accomplish?
I feel like... Almost, also in this atmosphere, like nothing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say almost anything.
Yes, I could hit a home run. I couldn't even pick up Adrian Beltre's bat, probably. It's like, it would be...
Don't sell yourself short.
It's true. I am a professional blogger, so it's not like I have a lot of secret physical acumen. However, I probably, when I thought about it, I thought it would have to be in-game. I could probably pinch run successfully.
Interesting.
Out of many opportunities, out of many tries, I could probably pinch run and maybe steal a base because I'm pretty fast.
Steal a base
at running.
Okay, see, I thought
steal
about
a base?
So one of the things I thought
here's
about
the thing, is that I used to run track, and my best time in the 100-meter relay, right, was fast. So maybe I could do that.
Okay.
Once out of every like 300 attempts.
What was your time?
It was 6.7 seconds.
For the 100 meters?
Yeah.
Don't they run the hunt? No. You
can't. Short? Was that the relay time? I don't remember.
The 100 meters, they run in the Olympics in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, they do it like 5 seconds, right?
Jeff McClain's a 6-second 100-meter
yes,
time.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I am.
Usain Bolt.
Maybe it was the 70 meter. Either way, it was probably the 70 meter. That makes a lot more sense.
I ran track.
You know what? I'm taking it back. I could accomplish zero baseball feats, and that would be.
Well, so I thought, my first thought was, well, I could, like, I could probably run the bases. And then I was like, no, I couldn't, because so much of that is, like, judging, like, the hit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, like, the listening to the coach and ignoring the coach and, like, all that kind of, and, like, I couldn't deal with any of that. And I would be like, oh, my God, I'm standing in front of 50,000 people and I now have to run and I'm wearing this outfit and, like, no.
Yeah, you're
right.
You
couldn't steal a base.
I couldn't do anything. I honestly, because I think the only thing that as an upright human adult I can do is like make it to the subway before the doors close. Like that's the only.
Yeah.
And so it's like I can't catch anything at all.
Think about all of the baseball players who can't steal bases.
Anything. I just don't think there's anything that I could conceivably do on the same level as a replacement player. Not
Gemma,
one thing.
You ran track in high school.
This is
and
where I come
in. And then I quit for theater, so maybe that should have let me know that all of my recollections are false.
You also could take a pitch.
I don't think I could.
You totally could.
Oh my God, my internal organs are way too close to the surface of my body. I think I would die.
Well, here, I've actually thought about this. I didn't write this down because I don't realistically think this could happen. But if like secretly people thought I was like a top prospect, and like I totally like ripped everyone off.
You like stole someone's identity.
Right. And I made it into a major league game and I stepped to the plate against like just a wild reliever. I could potentially draw a walk by not swinging at a single pitch. Theoretically, that is possible. That's not what I wrote down, but I feel like that's like the closest to actual success in baseball.
I just feel like that would, because you also have to have a really good eye for that.
No, I just go up and I say, I'm not going to swing at a single pitch.
And so that reliever would
and
just
have
to...
And if they think I'm good, they aren't going to just fire all three into the strike zone.
Right, okay, so you have to... Okay, so it requires a lot of, like, subterfuge to
right,
get to this
right.
point.
Exactly.
Well, all right.
It's funny, because, like, I was thinking about this also. Like, could I play, you know, like, left field for an inning and just hope that no ball was hit to me? But to be honest, the whole, like... thing where like you like stare in really intently and like crouch and also have to be like chewing gum and spitting and like it's not as easy as it looks.
What about, like, since we're all super unathletic and terrible,
well,
like
I have one that we all can do.
What is it?
tag and score on a sacrifice fly. That is doable.
That is doable.
That is very doable. You're standing at third. Somebody hits a deep fly ball to right field. Just wait, catch, go. And, I mean, you run the 100 meter in 6 seconds, so you're good to go. And I feel like Ian, you and I could probably make it.
Nah.
If it was like a deep, like you're definitely going to score one, yes. But like if there's a loom, I mean, I said that I'd get hit by a pitch, but like looming like collision at the plate, which is less of a thing now than it used to be. Still like the thought of like the catcher and like a physical collision with him is kind of intimidating.
For sure.
But a deep fly ball, you definitely could
I
do.
I think you could do, I think any one of the three of us.
I don't know.
Like deep, 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 way out in the right. Of,
I don't
like,
think I could do it.
Petco.
My confidence is shattered. Everything I've ever believed about myself is wrong. None of the things I like are real. I don't think I could do it. Also, because now I would be afraid of running into somebody.
Well, no. I mean, although
like
they would
the
mess with you.
I'm the size and weight of a little leaguer. Just that's what you should know when you think about this.
And as the documentary Rookie of the Year taught us, it's reasonable for a little leaguer to be in Major League Baseball as long as everything breaks right. All right, let's move on here to this final topic. And there's some backstory to this final topic that I have to give out. Speaking of musicals, I was at a musical earlier this week. I saw An American in Paris. And while I was sitting there, I looked at the stage and realized I could not see the actors and actresses' faces on the stage. I realized I am in need of glasses. And it turns out I went to the eye doctor. I am in need of glasses.
And how long have you been in need of glasses?
For more than 10 years. But that's not the point.
Like, this is what I cannot understand is you just ambling through the world being like, everyone must just see the world slightly out of focus.
Look.
It must just be how we all live.
Haven't you seen like hundreds of plays in the last 10 years?
Yes.
So bizarre
okay.
that no signage is ever clear enough for any human to read.
Be that as it may. Here's the thing.
No, all the signs are too small.
I have made it into adulthood, ostensibly, without ever needing or wearing glasses, I should say. Apparently, I have needed them. And I'm a little freaked out by it. And so what I need is I need a baseline. I need something I can relate to in the glasses world that will help me enter into this new identity. And you know what? There are some baseball players who wear glasses. That's cool. I can wrap my head around that. And it got me thinking, who is the baseball player who rocked glasses the best, or maybe currently rocks glasses the best? I'm going to start, because this is my topic. And I had a couple options. I first thought Brian McCann. He used to have really sweet glasses. Then he got LASIK, which, you know, I feel like it's like the hair plugs of vision, but that's neither here nor there.
It's definitely not
I feel
that.
Like that's not.
It's not it at
not
all.
Not a comparison.
Ian and I both wear glasses. So
I, yeah. As somebody who will momentarily be wearing glasses, I feel it's lying about your identity.
As someone whose vision is not that horrible, you're a good candidate for LASIK, though.
Really?
Yes. That's true.
Thank you, Dr. K. I appreciate
it.
You're welcome.
I get it because my vision is so bad.
I'm going to start doing radio ads for my LASIK now.
Perfect.
Practice.
But the person I settled on is Red Sox, former Red Sox, current Red Sox. I forget where he wound up. Joe Kelly. He's still on the Red Sox.
I think he's still there.
He's still there.
I think so.
Yeah. He wears glasses.
Friend of the Cup Forecast,
Friend of the
Joe
Cup
Kelly.
Forecast, Joe Kelly, who I don't know where he wound up, so not as good a friend from my end. Apologies, Joe.
It's going to be awkward when he hears this.
It's going to be super awkward. But, you know, he rocks a good pair of glasses. I like that. But then I thought, you know what's really cool? Umpire Frank Eumont from the 50s and 60s was the first umpire to actually wear glasses while calling a game, which that takes bravery. Shout out to you, Frank Eumont, for wearing glasses and enduring, presumably, the same joke over and over and over the entire game. That's an inspiration.
Can't wait for the musical, that one.
All right, Gemma, who's the best bespeckled baseball player?
Bespeckled? Like covered speckled? In specs?
Specs.
Spectacled?
Spectacled.
Bespectacled?
Who's the best bespectacled
the best,
baseball player?
Like an egg, bespect.
Yeah.
So I wear glasses, have worn glasses since I was really little. I feel like a lot of players just kind of wear like rec specs, you know, which just makes sense. They're safe. If you get hit in the face, when I was 10, I was the only time I ever played goalie on my little soccer team because I don't know, it's what you do, you all play all the positions. I got hit right in the face with the soccer ball, and my glasses broke in half, and both the lenses popped out.
Wah, wah. So,
maybe it would have been better at that time in my life to have rec specs, but I did not. And also, I was 10 and, like, really bloodthirsty about this soccer game.
Yeah.
And so I just kept playing. Like, I was like, whatever, and I kept playing.
Nice.
Despite the fact that I was, like, bleeding. But
good.
As happens, you know.
Walk it off. Grit. Yeah.
But so I like players who are just like, they look like guys wearing a pair of glasses, you know, that they just walked in from whatever coffee shop.
Yeah.
And are on the field now. Like Erik Sogard.
Yeah.
He's just a dude who could be in your philosophy class. Yeah. Like, that's who he is.
It's true.
He's wearing, like, two-tone frames, just hanging out. They're big, too.
Yeah.
They're not, like, particularly sport-optimized. That's what I like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was somebody else who I thought of initially, of, like, my new style icon.
Yeah.
Now that I'm one of you.
Welcome. Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Is there, like, degrees of glass? Am I going to be shunned by the glasses community?
Yes.
You'll learn.
Well, fine. Who's your favorite glasses-wearing baseball player?
I'm going to go back to, like, the early 90s, a true pinnacle of eyewear fashion. I couldn't find definitive evidence of Greg Maddux wearing glasses on the mound.
Yeah.
But he definitely wore them in the dugout and, like, in the bullpen and, like, during, you know, throw sessions and stuff. And they were just, like,
they kind of look like yours that you're wearing right now.
These are my Greg Maddux glasses.
Yeah.
Not really.
They are him. I actually stole them. But yeah, he just had, like, super normal guy glasses, which I feel like played into his whole, like, mystique of, like, this super clever, smart kind of pitcher on the mound.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's a good. Maybe I'll try to, like, somehow assimilate it into, like, a mysterious persona.
Well, do you think that everyone else who works for Cut 4 is very professorial and smart?
No.
So then we've all failed in our attempts to make our glasses work for us.
Dakota, have you thought about going monocle?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. I can
double
do two.
Monocle.
Yeah, double monocle. A duo call. Yes.
Just get a prescription lorgnette.
Is that what it's called?
The
thing with the stick?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I was going to call the thing with the stick. Do you know what it's called?
Of course you know the real name.
Yes, I do, and I'm not ashamed.
Well, guys, thank you for that advice. I am obviously feeling a lot of feelings about these glasses, so I appreciate you letting me work through my feelings with you. But it is time to sum up the podcast in 140 characters. Now, Ian, since you...
I can't remember
just,
what happened in the quiz.
You were so successful.
It better be
Tell
the
me more.
Best tweet I've ever heard.
You really rocked it. So, Gemma, since you were wrong, you have to go first.
That's okay.
In summing up the podcast.
I got it. I'm ready.
What do you got?
Photoshop your favorite bespectacled player's glasses onto at Dakota Gardner's face. Hashtag cut forecast.
All right.
Maybe
well
you'll
done.
Get some style advice.
Great. Yeah. That'll be super helpful. Okay. Mine. It's opening night for Disco Demolition Night on Broadway. Which glasses should I wear? Emoji of the nerd with the glasses. Hashtag cut forecast.
All right.
There you go.
All right.
A+ tweet. Right there. A+ tweet.
Just the Ian, deafening silence.
I can tell by your silence how much you loved it. Ian, what do you got?
Mine is just at Gemma Kaneko, and then it's a GIF of Michael Jordan on the Bulls in the 4-5 jersey, like sinking a 3. That's all it
there
is.
There you go. There you go.
I'll favorite that. Okay. Or heart it or whatever.
Old
I appreciate it.
Thing.
Whatever.
Yep. Or the Jordan shrug.
It's a period at Gemma. So
of course.
Everyone can see it.
Good.
You have, but however, I still feel that you have failed the quintessential challenge of this tweet.
That's true.
Is summarizing.
Yeah, you failed. You really, what you did was you summarized.
Okay.
You summarized our personal.
your
that,
arrogance.
Well, you asked me to summarize the podcast. That was the
That's
most monumental
feel.
Thing that happened on the podcast.
Uh-huh.
It was me just crushing the quiz.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's your that's your tweet. You don't get an opportunity.
Fine. So I was gonna embarrass myself by coming up with another one, but it's too late.
No, you failed. if you're listening and you have a tweet that better summarizes this podcast into 140 characters, which you absolutely do, since one person flagrantly made no attempt to do such a thing with his tweet, please tweet it at us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast. We'll retweet the best ones. We will like some of the slightly less best ones. I will mute the ones that are personally offensive to me.
Which is just pictures of you photoshopped random glasses on your face.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
If you like this podcast, you can go to iTunes and you can subscribe to it there. You can write a review. You can rate us 1 to 5 stars. If you do, in fact, write a review, we will read it on the Cut4Cast. That's pretty cool. And if you go to MLB.com/cut4, you can read all of the articles we write and produce there. You can follow us on Twitter at Cut4. You can like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/cut4. Gemma, what post do you have coming up? What are you excited for?
I'm excited for whatever melange of things comes out around the Oscars. We always do some weird movie coverage, some fun things.
Yeah, we do.
See how John Axford's going to do predicting this year.
Yeah.
So that's all coming up. Should be good.
Should be good.
Yeah.
Ian, do you have anything you're looking forward to Cut4 producing?
Well, I think the Oscars is the big one coming up. Anyone going on the internet should check that out. Come Monday morning, got something super fun.
We do.
For next week in anticipation of the Oscars, so definitely stop by.
Yes, make sure MLB.com/cut4 on Monday to see that. And yeah, thank you for being here, Ian.
Oh, anytime.
And Gemma, thank you for being here.
Whatever.
But mostly, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.